B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fam. I got some hotel updates. I came in the middle of the night. It was kind of cranky. I just went downstairs. It's actually kind of cool. Definitely a different vibe. Also, Sam Fortier is staying here. I have more hotel updates to come. Right now, joining us on the BetQL guest line is somebody that is excited and I imagine ready to take on any of the haters, any of the ops. Hello, Barstool Nate. How do you do, buddy?
If there's a single hater or op out there, I'd be shocked because there's nothing to hate. Besides that one dork on the Bengals postgame show, there's absolutely no reason to hate or be an op right now. What a week it's been for us, man. What an absolute week it's been for us. I am as excited. I mean, I know you guys are. I know everybody listening in the JP and B-Mitch universe are excited. All the Nataholics are excited. It's a great day to be us.
So take us through kind of your emotions, excitement, everything that happened watching that game Monday night.
It's crazy, right? Because the first drive, the Bengals go down, expose our secondary, and I tweeted it out. I said, this is going to have to be a shootout because, you know, our secondary is the secondary. And then what do you know? Jaden saw my tweet. He got up and he made it a shootout. It was one of the more remarkable, you know, like we're sitting there watching it. And it's almost like, is this happening to us? Is this my team that we're watching right now? Is this my rookie quarterback that we're watching right now? And it was. And, you know, like everybody on Twitter, everybody who's interacting, everybody who's not even a fan of the team, all on the same page, all saying the same thing about just how awesome Jaden is. And I need to apologize. I said this season might be a roller coaster. You know, he's still going to make rookie mistakes. I was wrong. We have the best quarterback in the NFL. There's no mistakes to be made. We have a Pro Bowl Hall of Fame quarterback on our team for the next 15 years. It's unbelievable, JP.
Does any part of you feel the need to chill out? I know how you are.
Hell no, not Nate.
I know how you are and how excited you get, right? And I'm cool with that. But does any part of you want to say, like, all right, I got to chill out just a hair and let it build on its own?
Right. I mean, we have to stay level. We have to understand it's a process that that the defense isn't all the way there yet, that we could still use a couple pieces on the offense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've been talking on this show, the highest rated segment in DC Sports Talk history, for the last, you know, 6 months about how we're finally
in the right field. You have a lot of credit there, Nate.
It's true. CK showed me the numbers. It's true. So we understand that a rebuild takes time. We understand that through the last five drafts, 90% of those guys are gone, that it did not go well under the last regime, that, you know, the depth isn't completely there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We all understand that. It's also okay to be a little bit excited, and not just a little bit excited, overexcited. I don't care if people are exaggerating or people like me calling him a Hall of Famer, first ballot, unanimous Hall of Famer, whatever. After a performance on Monday Night Football where our rookie quarterback outplays not just Joe Burrow, outplays pretty much every other quarterback in the league, sets all sorts of wacky records of completion percentage and random acronyms that Grant Paulson loves tweeting out that nobody understands. It's just a great time to be us, and it's okay if people overreact. I'm all about overreacting.
I think it's okay for fans to overreact. I just don't want any of the players to ever get those mindsets that you all have.
Players shouldn't be. That's why they're players. That's why they're professionals.
They're professionals.
They shouldn't be, but JP, it creeps into them too. People react to what they hear.
I get it. Nate Dogg, you had a couple blogs after that game that I found interesting. We've all talked so much about Jaden, and I tend to the performance that night was just unbelievable. He really, like, to cap it off and to ice that win out with that throw to Terry, and Terry deserves a ton of credit for a hell of a catch. But much has been made about Cliff Kingsbury. The analytics community doesn't like Kingsbury. That's just the reality. I operate within or adjacent to that space enough that you can see that out there, right? What do you make of Kingsbury's offense now through three games? Because through two games, it sure did look pretty horizontal, but they definitely got the vertical thing going in Cincy.
Look, I think he kind of put on a master class in the first 2 weeks of easing a inexperienced rookie quarterback into the NFL without making them sit on the bench. It was almost like it was so, you know, put the ego aside, put everything you want to do aside. Let's just take baby step after baby step. Let's complete our passes. Let's limit turnovers, which Jaden obviously has zero of, and ease you into an NFL playbook, and it worked perfectly. I thought we were going to have this conversation maybe week, like, 8 or 9. Like, okay, now they're opening up the playbook for Jaden. Now they're really taking shots downfield. It only took 3 weeks, and I'm not saying, like, that he's that everything's perfect and that the playbook's completely open and all that stuff, but I think he's just what Cliff did and what Jaden was able to do and not let his ego or I need to bomb it out. Terry's down there somewhere. I'm going to just air it out into double coverage type of mentality. I think just was so genius and it worked so, so, so well. And it just what I'm kind of like at a loss for words, just how perfect their game plan worked. Hopefully we don't take any steps back. Hopefully, you know, the playbook continues to open up and we just see more creativity and we see more passes downfield. But yeah, I'm elated about what Cliff's playbook and game calling ability did. He's completing 80%+ of his passes, most accurate quarterback in the league. It's really, really, really great that they trusted each other, that they saw the vision, and that we're not even in October yet and we're having this conversation. Never mind, I thought we were going to have it in November or December.
I think the whole thing about it is like with the analytics department, I don't care what those people think. I care what the quarterback. I care what the quarterback does and how the coach operate with it. I think that's the whole thing. We get so caught up in somebody sitting in the room, putting numbers into a damn equation and telling us what you're supposed to do on the football field. That man sees Jaden every day. He knows what he needs to do. He knows what he's capable of. And also, let's just think about it. We just left week 3. People might have their whole offense in. They don't run all of it in the first 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe they're bringing stuff along slowly, not just for Jaden, but probably for other people on the offense. You know, he may be able to do. I would think the way he spends time over that building, he's ready for anything they throw at him. But you also got to make sure you don't leave the people that he needs to come along with him to help him out.
I'd say, especially on that 4th and 4. You could, in that whole drive, you could just tell that the Bengals had no idea what Jaden was going to do because they were terrified of his legs. And we talked last week, is he running too much? I mean, he had 12 carries on Monday night, only averaged 3.3 a carry. He gets the ball out quick. He makes his decisions quick. Sometimes he still is missing wide open people downfield. And again, that comes with time. That comes with experience. That comes with learning the NFL offense and defense. But, you know, Jaden also learned how to slide, which I almost jumped through the roof when I saw him do that. I was so excited. It's just little by little, he is getting a hang of everything. And it's so funny to say that after he, you know, completes 91% of his passes on Monday Night Football, which makes me think, like, you know, we haven't even seen the half of it yet. Who knows what Jaden's capable of?
Mm-hmm.
He very well might be the best thing to ever happen to all three of us. I'm so optimistic and so excited for what the future holds for him because after 3 weeks in the NFL, we know what he's capable of, and now the sky's just the limit for him.
One of the things, we're talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow him at Barstool Nate, also goes by Little Nate X. one of the things that pre-draft folks were caught up in that I thought was just kind of silly. No, not Topgolf. That was another thing folks were caught up in.
Yeah.
From a number standpoint, was the pressure to sack ratio. Through 3 games, Jaden's been sacked 9 times. I think it was he sacked 5 times by the Giants or 6? Whatever it was.
Five times.
So it was 4 in the first half, 1 in the second half. I think he has evolved so much so fast. Maybe evolved isn't the right word, but like
they just could have been damn wrong. Let's be real.
Well, I just wanted to point this out. So for all the consternation about the pressure to sack ratio through 3 games, and nobody's had a bye yet, everybody's played 3 games. Daniels isn't even top 10 in the league in sacks. He's been sacked 9 times. which is a tie for, I guess, ninth with Dak, Brock Purdy, Jacoby Brissett, Geno Smith. They're all right there. Deshaun Watson's been sacked 16 times. Will Levis has been sacked 15. Baker Mayfield, 13. Caleb Williams, 13. If you want to look at like a sack percentage, Daniels ranks a little higher there. He's been sacked on about 10.5% of his dropbacks. Levis is the top of the list at almost 14. Levis, Baker Mayfield, both almost 14. Deshaun Watson, over 12. Then Jacoby Brissett, then Trevor Lawrence. I think that's another of the – one thing I enjoy is Monday night, I think, put some storylines to rest, Nate Dogg. And I like that when, for whatever reason, people, like, decided to take a side – maybe it's just, like, the increasing polarization of our country. But, like, coming into the draft, everybody wanted to take a side on who the quarterback should be, right? And then people search for validation of the side they've chosen. I think a lot of the attempts at analytically driven answers for why it should have been one quarterback or another have been thrown out the window at this point.
Yeah, it's all about the play on the field, right? None of that pre-draft nonsense matters. It's you can do all the GMs and the player personnel and the scouts. They do all their research. They watch all the tape. They do all the interviews. You can think that you have the next big thing. I mean, look at the last two drafts. Bryce Young cannot complete a three-yard pass, and Caleb, he still might be fine in Chicago, but as of right now, Jaden at number two, the trivia question is going to be, who did the Bears pass over when they took Caleb at number one? Or the opposite, I'm sorry, because people are going to forget Caleb and remember Jaden. So it's tough. Like, for these GMs, sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. We have Adam Peters, the best brain in the business. He got it right through 3 weeks. And, you know, if you don't have the Jaden jersey yet, you better go online and order it, because these things are going to be sold out after he goes into Arizona on Sunday and puts on another show in front of another number one overall quarterback, Kyler Murray.
I was thinking about this, especially in Cincy, Brian. I'm guessing you noticed it too. Mm-hmm. The amount of kids in Cincinnati wearing Burrow jerseys was just remarkable, and I want to see that in Washington. Like, I just want to see kids at the grocery store wearing Jaden jerseys.
If it continues like it's going, they will. You know, like, I'll be honest with you, kids don't want the jersey if you're not good at it.
Right.
Kids are the most honest beings in the world. They're going to let you know if you're playing or not.
Yeah, the Tress Way jerseys, though, I feel bad for him. Those things aren't going to be selling because he can't get on the field.
That's true. That's true. Hey, he's icing his hands now.
He's not concerned, believe me.
Yeah, no. He's cool with it. do you have any – how are you feeling about this defense, Nate Dogg? Or do you just want to stay on the positives?
The defense is the defense, right? Like, it's not great when our draft picks – on the defensive side in the last few years, can't get on the field. Manuel Forbes, all 95 pounds of him, can't get on the field. Jamin Davis.
He's hurt, though. Really... He had a surgery.
Yeah, no, I understand. But, you know, he's on the sidelines. Jamin Davis, Ron Rivera, you know, drafted him three rounds too high. We traded Sweat. We traded Chase Young. So the defense is not going to be great. We know that, and that was always going to be the downside of this season is we have – a very, very, very rough, especially secondary, and they are going to get exposed probably week after week just because – and I said it a couple weeks ago. These guys are prepared. I trust this coaching staff to prepare these guys as well as possible. If your talent level in the Madden world is a 60, you're not going to become a 95 just by preparing during the week and watching tape. Talent is – you know, talent's talent. And you can't just make somebody good if they just aren't that good. We can bend, not break defense until the cows come home, and that's what we're going to be this year, and we're going to have to get some good, timely turnovers. We're going to have to get some tip balls. We're going to just have to get to the quarterback, and just the defense is going to have to play above expectation to keep Washington in the games. The offense can only do so much. We can't score 38 every single game. We know that. So.
Right.
That's going to be the roller coaster. Let's say the offense, you know, it's not going to be this Monday night result. We're not going to have, you know, just results like that week. But
how much do you think potentially, we don't know that yet, but not, possibly not having Eckler will impact the offense?
Man, I love Eckler. That stinks to see him go down. It's probably not going to it's not going to change dynamically, you know, that offense. Eckler wasn't the focal point of the offense. He wasn't doing anything that I don't think you can, you know, find someone else in the league and plug him in. I mean, 13 carries in 3 weeks. I know he left the game early, but 13 carries in 3 weeks isn't really like game-changing stuff. And I think he had 9 catches in 3 weeks. So we love Eckler.
200 yards in 3 games, averaging.
He had a major impact on his offense thus far.
I mean, he had a touchdown in the last game.
Right, but I don't want to make it seem like, you know, you can't replace 13 carries, right? Like,
but it's not the 13 carries, I think, Nate. It's the impact that he's had on the team. And I think his play, he's had some huge plays.
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree. But
Nate, just hear me out, bro. 22 touches, so don't worry about just the carries with a guy like that. It's touches. 22 touches, rather, for 204 yards, a touchdown, averaging over 9 yards per touch. B-Rob, now, they're asked to do different roles. I'm not looking for a direct comp here, but B-Rob has 50 touches for 262 yards. So maybe some of that pass load can land on Robinson, but I think it's I don't want to slow you down. I love your enthusiasm, but Eckler's a big part of this offense. And if you go back and look if you look at the box score from the other night, the run game really kind of started grinding after he went out. Like, things that they weren't able to run the ball with the same vigor of which they did in the first half.
Look, I'm not trying to hate. I love Eckler. I love his contributions to this team, but we can't act like that he's irreplaceable. It's a next man up for the backup running back or the third down running back mentality. Eckler's down. Who is it? Jeremy McNichols? You're the next man up. Make something happen. Like, that's all it is to me. Eckler will be back. He'll miss a couple weeks. Seems like he has a concussion. He'll be back. But right now, I'm not about to act like we're going to lose in Arizona because Eckler's down. Absolutely not. This offense is too dynamic, has, you know, too many guys who are awesome. How about Jahmy Brown getting 2 straight balls in crunch time? That was pretty cool to see. Like,
I thought it was good to see Luke McCaffrey have a role and make some plays.
Absolutely. So with everybody stepping up, it's just next guy's going to step up. Eckler will get healthy. He'll be back. But nothing stopped this train. Not an injury, not nothing.
I'm not asking you this, Nate. I'm asking Brian this, just so we're clear. Yep. B, you remember in training camp we saw Luke get a little bit of work out of the backfield?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Veckler does miss time. They think maybe that's just another wrinkle they can add to the offense.
It may be, but I think they're still working on that one. I don't know if that's already polished up and ready to go just yet.
Yeah, I get that. Nate Dogg, we appreciate you, buddy. And you are very correct. It is okay to be incredibly excited about a rookie quarterback that looks like he's out
just
of
don't
this world
you good. Don't you tweet any one of the guys on the team.
No, I don't do that. Yeah. I don't do that. I'm just here to
keep that to you and yourself up there in New York.
Our beloved Commies about to go 3-1 going into Arizona. I can't wait. And how about Dallas being the worst team of all time? It's a great, great time to be us.
Yo, what'd you think of the little blonde dude from Cincinnati saying saying Jaden wasn't that good?
Just a dork. Like, come on. Like, you can say that the Bengals defense looked bad without saying Jaden isn't that good. I think that quote's going to stick with him forever. They'll play it at Jaden's Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We're all have a nice laugh. And, life goes on for him. He'll continue to be wrong. But, yeah, keep Jaden's name out of your mouth.
We got to go next week. Break down all the Caps preseason action. Thank you, Nate Dogg.
All right, Nate.
Well, yeah, see you guys.
When we come back, Dan Quinn spoke last night. What'd he say? Let's find out. Be honest with you, Landfill. When I woke up this morning, I didn't think I was going to hear Shania. It wasn't something that I thought of. But you better play it now. But just look at us.
Hey, Jay. Let her sing. Steve, stop. You're killing it.
Still holding
JP, please, dog. Landfill, turn that song off.
Still the one. Two. Long two. So in this weird hotel I'm in with paper thin walls, it's 8:34 in the morning and I'm singing Shania Twain. How much do you think the people to my left and right enjoy me doing the radio right here, right now?
They probably not in there. They probably gone somewhere. you sitting in the room, they probably go and play golf or something.
Hotel update. I went down to the front desk to get some water. Landfill, I think you might like this place. It's growing on me. They have goldfish. They have just like ample amounts of goldfish you can fill up a cup and take up to your room.
The crackers, also, right?
Yeah. I hope it is the crackers. And what not, if I was just not took the a real pet, goldfish?
Just took a pet goldfish up to my room. they also have, and I noticed this last night, but I was in such, I just wanted to go to bed last night. They have video games down there. They have pinball games and like some like race car game, and they're all free. So that, I will be playing some pinball. Pool table.
So how, are you somewhere near like a park or something where they have a lot of kids or something?
Nah, man, it's like a very hipster vibe. It's like they're going for the hipster subset of Arizona State students.
Okay.
That's my take. I got a balcony, Brian, overlooking the highway. Things are coming up. I have requested a refrigerator.
Don't sing anymore today, please.
The people in the chat love the singing.
No, they don't. They're lying. I'm going to tell you the truth. They're lying to you.
I'm just looking at the comments. It's nothing but positivity.
You're awful, they're telling you.
Nah.
Yeah.
They love it.
Nope.
I love Nate being fired up. Listen, Nate's obviously a lunatic. He's our lunatic. But if there are fans that are just super excited right now, I think that's okay. You've got a first round.
But if they're super excited right now and they call in making all them comments, don't call in if they happen to lose a game or something. Don't call in being about to jump off a bridge. I don't hear that crap. What I'm trying to say is pump your brakes just a little bit right now. Be excited, but don't be ridiculous.
What did you think? Nate Dogg was saying that, you know, losing Eckler, next man up. And that's the right mindset, but I think his skill set is pretty unique.
There you go. It's the right mindset, but you know what? Everybody can't just step up. You know, what he has come in here and done has given this offense something that you have a consistent weapon. And he's been consistent. So it's not, Nate is just focused on the amount of carries. It's not the amount of carries, it's the impact he's had. You know, I think when you look at his timely catches and getting the first down and the runs.
He's also really good in pass pro.
Yeah. So all that stuff matters more than just, he just has 9-13 carries. No, that's not what it is. It's the way the defense sets up when he's in the game. It's the way the defense has to cover it when he's in the game.
Sure. There's not a lot to this, but I know you got the audio set up here from DQ. Can we start just at the top? This is DQ's official update on Austin Eckler.
Yeah, so Austin had a concussion and also a laceration on his ear. So he went back to Virginia today to begin the concussion protocol. So I'll have more info as it goes towards the end of the week. But instead of coming out here to Arizona, he went back home to Virginia to begin that process.
So the question I ask is, did the process just start yesterday? Or did it start right after the game when they knew he probably had one? Because he said that twice. He went back to Virginia to start the process.
I imagine there's some semantics there. Like, once he's diagnosed with a concussion, the protocol starts. As far as like when you start taking your baseline tests and all that stuff, honestly, B, I don't know because it's a Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, one thing that, whether this was done intentionally, you know, I certainly think it was, that is probably smart with the NFL protocol is that there are no strict timelines attached. It's mm-hmm. all about baselines and medical testing and getting cleared by doctors. So hypothetically, that could happen in 24 hours, or it could happen in a week, or it could happen in a month. I think you want to leave that ambiguous because the nature of these injuries is so unique to the person. For me, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a running back, I am not a what do you call it, brain doctor, B?
A brain surgeon?
Oncologist? No, that's a
neurologist.
Neurologist. The nerves.
Thank you, Lanfield. I'm also not one of those. I think Washington should probably approach Sunday's game that they're not going to have Eckler. I think that is the cautious path here. And then if you get him, great. But I think the plays you design for him, a lot of those touches and stuff that he gets, I think you plan elsewhere for this week. Brian, one question I'm starting to have, though, that I think we're getting close to needing an answer. I thought Brandon Coleman was pretty darn good Monday night. I know late in that game he did get beat inside for the sack from Hendrickson, but Hendrickson kind of beats everybody. I think we're getting to a point where maybe we don't rotate so much at left tackle. This is Dan Quinn, number five, Landfill, talking about rookie Brandon Coleman's performance against the Bengals.
Yeah, we kind of continued to try to balance him up a little more as we're going to go, but we knew that was going to be one of the factors inside to make sure Hendrickson can't ruin the game. I believe he got inside on one late, you know, they got the sack and created the negative yards, but by and large, I felt Brandon's kind of, you know, technique and energy, all the things when you're missing some time, start coming back into play. So we've been impressed, and the arrow's definitely going up, Dave.
B, have you been impressed with Coleman?
Yes, I have been. And he's been good in both the running game and the pass game. So, but the thing of it is, you know, they're going to keep giving him a little time because, you know, the amount of time that he's playing, that matters too. You know, did he get beat late because he got a little tired? I don't know.
Maybe.
You know, I'm just saying, I don't know that question, but that is the question they're probably asking themselves, though. You know, does he need to get in more football shape? Because – he didn't do a lot of practicing in training camp.
Dude, I do wonder. I mean, the guy missed damn near a month, wasn't it? It was all of the preseason.
It was a long time.
So we got no action in preseason, which the preseason games were, help me with the dates. I want to say it was like August 25th, and then a week prior would have been
the 10th, 17th, and 25th.
Boom, there you go. And I think he missed like a week prior to that first one. So damn near a month. So maybe there is just some getting into shape, not to mention you've got a rookie trying to get into shape. I did have a really cool moment at the Cincinnati airport, which makes sense because I was there for about 4 hours. I had a really cool moment. Got to meet Trent Scott's dad. Plus, B. Mitch's favorite quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, with some highly complimentary words on Jaden Daniels. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. NFL Week 4 is here, and you can start with a chance for a big win on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, you'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. You can build a quick same-game parlay for Thursday night football game as the Cowboys take on the Giants. I wish they could just play to a tie. CeeDee Lamb over receiving yards. Dak Prescott over passing yards. And how about Devin Singletary anytime touchdown? Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel, sportsbook, the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wage only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I get you riled up, though. I love my boss. People used to get hyped for this, B.
Who did?
A long time ago. I'm telling you, this song came on at a bar, and like, whenever this song was big, like the mid-2000s, people got hyped. Ride a horse, ride a cowboy. I'm going to sing every song just because people in the chat really seem to be enjoying it today.
I don't think they do.
I'm telling you, B. You think I'm making that up?
You're going to be doing a show by yourself. You keep singing.
You love my singing.
I'm going to just walk off the air, go to the airport, get there earlier, and come fight you.
What time is your flight?
My flight is like, 5-something.
All right. Landfill, do me a favor. I want to hear one more Dan Quinn. This is what it's like knowing that this team is rallying around a rookie quarterback. Number nine, Landini.
Yeah, I think they feel also his support for others, for the prosperity of others, Scott. And if you might see on a field goal, who's the first one out there kind of shaking the hands of the linemen and the people coming off? It was Jaden. And so he has that way about him that he creates energy and belief in others as well by the way he plays, the standard that he goes for it. Like I said earlier, you know, that we don't want him, you know, having and feeling there's any ghosts, anything here, and just being the best absolute version of him. And so we wanted to make sure that was clear. We know how important the position is here to him, to the organization, but we also wanted to make sure, like, man, be you and authentically you and do it in your own way. And we've really seen that.
I think that was really accurate and really fair from DQ. And I'll go back in time, and I'll go left-hand up on this. I didn't really care that they didn't name him the starter right away, because they also said, like, we all know where this is going. Like, they said enough of what was going to happen, and the draft status dictated it anyway. And when Dan later explained, we didn't want, like, additional unnecessary weight on him to have to think he had to behave in some sort of fashion that maybe wouldn't be his style. I don't know that ever would have been a problem, but in hindsight, I actually think it was a really smart strategy. And I think Quinn, and if it was Peters or Kingsbury, whoever involved, deserves credit for that
strategy. I think the strategy worked more for the other people, not him, because what? He didn't care. He was going to do the same things no matter what. I think for the other people on the team to follow suit on what he is and how he is, that worked better for the other guys. Jaden told you when they said about the starting there, if I'm the main starter, it's not gonna, like, I'm going to stop working. I'm going to keep working.
Right.
So he never changed. He has been the same guy since day one.
Agreed. I just like that from DQ. Now, what do we got here, Landini? Aaron Rodgers talking about Jaden Daniels? Was this via McAfee?
Yes.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee talking about the Commanders' rookie quarterback.
Young quarterbacks, you know, the rarity is the kid last night. Unbelievable performance. I mean, Daniels played incredibly well. We got to see him in training camp. Again, joint practice with him. And I was impressed by the way he threw the ball. I actually did watch a decent amount of film on him because we were looking at both their stud receivers. The kid in who played last night for Jacksonville, I believe, Thomas. And then, obviously, Neighbors. You know, we thought there would be a chance to pick either those two guys. So in the process of watching those guys, you got to see Daniels play, and he was very impressive. What I loved about him is that he played from the pocket on time. And when you can do that, you can stick around the league for a long time, because he also has that extra skill set that we saw last night, that he can run. I mean, he can really, really run. And he is fast and athletic and elusive. But the key to sticking around the league is playing from the pocket. And I think that's, again, to highlight another guy I played last night, my good buddy Josh, who's playing at MVP level. And I told him, I told him every year he comes to my flag football event, you know, he's going to win MVP in this league. I mean, he's that talented. He's an incredible player.
Dude, I don't say this very often. I completely agree with Rodgers. And I think that's what sets Jaden apart, is that he is a true pocket passer, and he can beat you from the pocket. Oh, and by the way, he'll break your damn back with his legs.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole thing about it.
But it's not dependent on one or the other.
But
it, you know?
See, the thing of it is, people don't want to look at what Aaron Rodgers just said. Everyone that sees him run, they just think he's just a running quarterback. And that's why they say, oh, don't run. No. He can run, but he'd rather beat you from the pocket, and as he stated, on time.
Yep.
Think about that.
I mean, I'm not to take a shot at Howell last year, nothing stayed on time. Not to take a shot at Caleb Williams, what you're seeing right now, nothing stayed on time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the ability to stand in the pocket and get clocked, right? That doesn't do you any good either. It's getting the ball out when your back foot's supposed to hit. That, to me, is always where I disagreed. Honestly, when people tried to make the Lamar comp, right? Because Lamar at this stage of his career at times can beat you from the pocket. But when he came out of college, Jaden is a significantly more polished pocket passer than Lamar was at this stage of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody's the runner Lamar is, but like the accuracy, the throws Jaden makes from the pocket on time with incredible accuracy and touch, it's pretty damn unparalleled, B.
Yeah,
and you don't want to get...
Big play to Terry, he didn't throw too much air under it. He threw it. That was more one on a line right in stride.
And then the one to the back of the end zone was unbelievable.
Was all touch.
But
right?
They practice that all the time.
B, how about the two throws he made on two different crucial fourth downs, one to McCaffrey, one to Ertz. Now, those aren't going to make the national highlight reels because all they did was pick up first downs. They weren't scoring plays. But the throw to Ertz was a freaking laser.
Yeah.
Laser.